Okay, so we're going to talk about the wars of Sichon, the wars against Sichon and Og. Okay, we're going to talk about the wars against Sichon and Og that we find at the end of this week's parsha. We're going to ask a few questions and then try to develop some kind of theory as to what's going on here. So let's just read a little bit. We'll begin our discussion. Well, the truth is, it's not just Sichon and Og. It starts off with Edom, and we start with Perek Chaf and Psukim Yud Dal to Chaf Aleph. So this is after Miriam dies, and the Torah says, "Vayishlach Moshe Malachi Mikadesh El Melech Edom, Kovar Achicha Yisrael Atayadatis Kol Tlar Sher Mitzahasnu." So they're sending messengers. You heard about all our hardships. We stayed in Egypt for many days. And the Egyptians were not so nice to us. We cried out to God. He heard our voices. He sent a messenger. He took us out of Egypt. Now we're in Kadesh, which is the edge of your border. Let us cross now in your land. Let us go. We're not going to pass through any fields or any vineyards. We're not going to drink any water. We're going to follow the highway of the king, the king's highway, like how people travel through the land. We just want rite of passage. So perhaps surprisingly, Edom comes back and they say, "You're not crossing us. You're not passing through us. We're gonna go out against you with the sword." Okay? And Bnei Yisrael try again. Vimrei la Bnei Yisrael, Babasila Dale. We and he says, "Listen, we'll keep to the beaten track. It seems like a track that's not well tread on. We're gonna pay for any water we drink. Rak ein devar braglai." Evora, we only just want passage on foot. It's just a small thing. Pasachav, Vayomer lo savor. Edom says, "Don't cross." Vayetze Edom likrosa ba'am kaved biyon chazaka. And Edom goes out to fight them. Vayevaed Edom nisones Yisrael avor bigvulo. And Edom refuses to let Bnei Yisrael cross its border. Vayet Yisrael me'alav, and Bnei Yisrael are turned away. They back away. So that's what they do first. Okay. Before we ask questions, let's just read a few. Let's just read. So that's with Edom. That's what happens with Edom. Now Edom is south of Eretz Yisrael. So when they're trying to cross into Edom, they're trying to cross it so they can enter to the southern part, the Negev of Eretz Yisrael. So now they go to Sichon, okay, and they say, "This is in Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph." So they now they're sending messengers to Sichon, the king of the Amorim. Same thing. We're not going to go into your fields. We're just going to take the king's highway, I guess like the local highway, I-95, and until we cross your borders. And then Sichon does not allow Klal Yisrael to cross its borders. And Sichon gathers its nation. They come to meet Klal Yisrael in the desert. And they come to Yahatz. And they fight with Yisrael. And then and Bnei Yisrael defeat Sichon. He as far as from Arnon until Yabok, until the people of Ammon. And then it says that Az marked the boundary of the Ammonim. Now I have a map here. I don't know if you can see it so well or not, but basically. Now, I only have one map here. I probably should have had a few other maps. But you see Cheshbon, that's the capital of... I don't know if you can see my cursor, but Cheshbon is sort of the center of... You can see the cursor. Okay. So if you look down, okay, good, good, good. So if you see down south, not in the map, this would be where they're trying to go in through the south, right? They're trying to go through the south, and that was Edom did allow them. That was Seir. That's where Edom lives. That's in the south. So now they go up the Midbar. They go up east. They pass by Moab, right? Moab's to the west. Why do you think they're not trying to go to Moab first? Because Moab, right? Moab to the west, they can't get it. They can't get into Eretz Yisrael from Moab, right? Because Moab to the west of Moab is what? The Yam HaMelech, right? So they first try to go in by the south. They first try to go by the south to go through the Negev. Edom's allowed them. So now they're going. So they go in on the desert, and they're going up north. They're going up north. They pass Moab. They go to Arnon. You see where Nachal Arnon is right here, Arnon. Then they fight. They fight. Then Sichon comes to wage war around here, and they uproot them. They destroy them until Rabat Bnei Amon here in the northern area, until the Ammonim. Okay. So what's interesting is that Edom basically says you can't go, you can't come, and they don't fight. They just stand their guard. Klai Yisrael back away. And then they go, then they travel more in the desert. They go up north. They make the same request for Sichon, and Sichon comes and they wage war against them, and the Bnei Yisrael defeat Sichon up until where the Bnei Ammon are. And then, if we just go back to the Psukim, there's an interesting maybe digression. Well, it says, Pasuk Chav Hei, Vayikach Yisrael's Kol Ha'arim Ha'ela, that Bnei Yisrael took all these cities, all those cities in that map they showed you. So they took Cheshbon in all of the suburbs, right, basically, all the areas. So Cheshbon was the capital city of Sichon. Now, you should know that Sichon had fought with the king of Moab, Harishon, the first one, a former one, and he took all of his land until Arnon. So I don't know where it came from, but if you look back at the map, so basically Moab owned a lot of this land here, and where Sichon came, and he conquered all the way until Nachal Arnon, he stopped there, and south of Nachal Arnon, that belonged to Moab. Now, Al-Kain Yomu HaMoshlim, therefore the bards, the people who make Mishalim, the people who make, parables, I guess, you know, storytellers. They say, Bo Cheshbon Tibonev and Hikonei Ir Sichon. Come to Cheshbon, it's firmly built and it's well-founded in Sichon city. In other words, that's a strong city. Why? Ki Yesh Yatzah Mecheshbon, Lehava Mekirat Sichon. A fire went forth from Cheshbon, a flame from Sichon city, Ochla Or, it consumed Ar of Moab, Bale Babos Arnon, the lords of Babos by the Arnon. All right? Oy lecha Moab, woe to you, Moab, Avanata Am Kamosh. You are undone, people of Kamosh. Kamosh was the god of Moab. Dasad Banav Pleitim, Uvenosav Beshvis, Lamelech Amori Sichon. Right? All their kids were fugitives and they were captives by the Amori king. Vanirab Avad Cheshbon, you've cast them down utterly. Cheshbon ad Divon, Cheshbon along with Divon, Vanashiba Nofach Asher ad Meidva. And you have brought desolation at Nofcha, which is by Meidva. In other words, the Torah feels it's necessary to tell us in very graphic terms how Sichon basically wiped out Moab. In other words, the land that Bnei Yisrael conquered from Moab, from the Amori, used to belong to Moab, and they came out like a fire. You know, so we have a little description of the history of Sichon conquering Moab. So we have that little digression there. And then we finish off the chapter. Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Amori. And Klal Yisrael, they live in the land of the Amori. Vayishlach Moshe l'ragales Yazer. And Moshe goes he sends out spies to Yazer. Vayikudu b'no seha. Vayoros the Samori Sheshav. Okay, so he defeats the Amorim there. Vayifdu v'yalu derech HaBashan, he goes up the way of the Bashan. Vayetze Og melech HaBashan likrasam, and Og, the king of Bashan, comes to meet him. Hu v'chalamo l'melchama Edrei. And they meet him in Edrei. And then what happens? Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, al tiroso, don't be afraid of him. Ki yurkod asati oso, v'eskolamo v'esartso, because I'm going to hand him to you. V'asisalok asher asisa l'sicho melech HaMorim, asher asher b'chashbon. You're going to do him what you did to Sichon. And what happens? Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayaku Osoves Benavis Koamo, So they defeat Og. Now, I don't really have, unfortunately, I don't have, but if you look here, this is where Og is. And if you look at the Das Mikra, Og, Bashan is here. Bashan is here, northeast, okay? The Drei, this area is for the Bashan. Now, what's interesting is that you need to remember that what did the Bnei Yisrael really originally want to do? They just wanted to pass, they want rite of passage so they could enter into Eretz Yisrael. They needed a way to get into it. So there were countries, there were city-states that were, or little kingdoms that were living to the south and to the east of Eretz Yisrael. So Edom said no, and they came out with a mighty army, and Bnei Yisrael left. Sichon came out, also with a mighty army. They fought with the Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael defeated them. And now Bnei Yisrael go attack Og. Now, the truth is, they don't really... They don't really have to attack Og, because what's their goal? Their goal is to conquer Eretz Yisrael, to be able to get into Eretz Yisrael. Once they conquer Sichon, right? So then now they have all the cities to the east of the Jordan River. They don't really need to conquer Og. So just a few points here that I sort of want to address in the shir here. So number one is, what's interesting is, why doesn't Edom allow Bnei Yisrael the rite of passage? And I'm wondering, why doesn't Bnei Yisrael wage war against Edom? Like, were they afraid of Edom? And it's interesting, like, you know, you wonder, years later, this is 40 years later, are the other nations afraid of Bnei Yisrael or not? On the surface, it seems they're not, right? Because Edom comes out to fight them. But they don't fight them, and why do the Bnei Yisrael chicken out? They don't have faith in God, okay? Then why does Sichon wage war against the Bnei Yisrael? That is, why don't they act like Edom? What did Edom do? They just put their army, right, and they said, you're not crossing here, and Bnei Yisrael left. So why didn't Sichon do the same thing? I'm also wondering why the history of Sichon and Moab are mentioned. And then I'm also wondering, why did Moshe attack Og? Because they don't really need to attack Og in order to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So I want to try to go through all these different positions and all these different questions and try to develop a little bit of a theory here as to what's going on and how God sort of planned this whole idea. So, it's not it. Hold on. Okay. So, give me a second. So, if we look now. So, regarding Edom. So, why would you think Edom is not afraid to wage war against the Bnei Yisrael? Any thoughts?
First, he calls him Achi, right? He says, my brother.
Right. So therefore what?
Just to have some kind of a relation.
So in other words, he doesn't, you know, in other words...
Right,
so you're saying he actually doesn't think he's going to attack them. So it's interesting, good point, Gila. So the Gur Aryeh actually makes this point that is your exact point, Gila. The Gur Aryeh in Perek Chafal Pasuk Chaf Gimel, we're going to get back to this a little bit later, but he says that Klal Yisrael sent messengers to Edom saying, Ko Amar Achicha Yisrael, that Bnei Yisrael are being very friendly to Edom. And since they sent them this message, this like nice messengers, that if Edom would stay strong, so maybe they don't think that Edom doesn't think that Bnei Yisrael will attack them, because they refer to them as Achicha. That's what the Gur Aryeh says. Rashi says, look at Rashi, the first source here, in Pasuk Yuchas, he says, Pen Becherav Eitzel Ikrasecha. So Edom says to Klal Yisrael, "Atem ikayim b'kol shorishchem avichem." Oh, you're like saying how great you are, like that you're, you know, what your ancestors did. Amarte vanitzak el Hashem v'yishma koleinu. Look at you saying that, you know, we cried out to Hashem, He listened to us. Oh yeah, v'ani etzei alechem b'mashe horisheni avi v'achar b'chatichya. What is my legacy? What am I supposed to do? What was my inheritance from my Alta Zaidi, I don't know, from Esav? That we live by the sword. So that's our job. We're going to fight you. So it could be that they're looking at history and saying this is what they do. Maybe, again, you know, it could be that did Edom fear them? Maybe the second generation, maybe they didn't fear them as much. Maybe, again, Edom didn't think that Bnei Yisrael would attack them. So why does Bnei Yisrael not, and as God, you understand, God tells the Bnei Yisrael to go to Edom and send messages. Like, this is God's plan. And then, let's think about this. God told Bnei Yisrael to go to Edom and ask permission for rite of passage. Edom says no, and then the Bnei Yisrael leave. Like, isn't this a lack of faith? So the truth is, we don't see it in this week's Parsha, but in Devarim, the Ramban points out that if you look at Parsha's Devarim, he says, Kibi piyak vur nitzdavu, that God told them to leave. Because the Pasuk says, I have here a Devarim Perek Beis, so V'yomar Hashem Elai Limor, Rav Lachem Sova Sahar Zeh, Pidu Lachem Tzafoda. Hashem told, after Edom said, you're not coming by us, Hashem said, okay, so just turn, circle the mountain, and start traveling north up the desert. And that's what he says. He says, go up the mountain, turn north. V'yazam Tzav Limor, Tem Ovri Mikvul Achechem B'nei Esav Yoshim B'sayir. I want you're going to cross by the border of your brethren Bnei Esav, vayiru mikem. They're going to be afraid, and they'll be afraid of you. Vidishmartem ma'od, al tiskarubam. But don't start a war with them. Ki lo atei lochem eratzam admirach kaf rogel ki Yerushal Esav nesati es harseir. Shem says, if they say no, then don't fight with them. So Rabban points out that basically Hashem told them that Hashem basically told them, I want you to go to Seir, to the border of Seir, ask Esav if you could pass by, but if they say no, don't fight with them. It's a little strange, because God probably knows what they're going to do. In other words, if God won't allow the Bnei Yisrael to attack Edom, then why send them there in the first place? Understand the question? Any thoughts? Like, why is he sending them to Edom to begin with if they can't fight them anyway? But Sichon, then he, God first sets them up with Edom in a way that they go to Edom. Edom says, oh, he's called me Achicha. Okay, you know what? I'm going to say no. Or I have this Misora for my Zaydi that, Al-Khaira Chatichya, that I should stand, you know, with the sword and not let you come by and wage war against you. So why does Shem set up the Bnei Yisrael for this failure here?
So, maybe Hashem gave Edom the opportunity to do the right thing.
Right. There's just saying Hashem is given free will, and maybe Edom's punished for this. It's interesting, Dave. I hear what you're saying. Possible. What's interesting is that Edom's not really punished. It doesn't. There's no indication, as far as I know, that Edom's punished for this at this point. It could be. You could be right. I think there might be something else going on, but you might be right. There could be multiple goals here. And this was like, maybe this would be the nice thing for Edom to do, give an opportunity, and they said no. I think there might be something else going on here. Now, why does Sichon decide to wage war? Now, who is Sichon? Why did Sichon say you can't pass by? So Rashi points out, Lefisha kol malchei, this is in Rashi, Pasuk of Gimel, says, Lefisha kol malchei kanan ho yamalim lo ma, shall you show him, shall you have lam gaisos? All the kings of Kanan would pay them tax. So they were like the border guard, so that armies wouldn't cross by them into Eretz Yisrael. Kevon she'amru lo Yisrael emra barzecha. Once they say, let me cross into your land, Abraham called to me and Yoshev Khan, el shor mibnechem atem obukah. The whole reason why I'm here is I get paid a lot of money as the border patrol. So that's my job. I can't let you pass. Right? And the Sitzik HaChalim points out, Deem lo kein hu, kein v'ha lo bikshu mehem el lavor derech artzam. V'lo nasat sichon esho lavor, lama yotu on li lachem k'negdam. Why they wage war against them? Right? In other words, you know, it's why they have to wage war against them. They only wanted to cross into their land. Why did they wage war? So it must be that their job is to protect from any possible intruders. Now they had to fight against Bnei Yisrael. And the Gur Aryeh says You know, yes, why did Rashi give this reason? Because everyone paid him tax as opposed to Edom. So he wants to say, like I said before, that Edom had a reason to say no. Because basically, they thought that Bnei Yisrael wouldn't attack them. Because they're related, they're brothers. Sichon, Melcha, Mori, they're not related at all. So in other words, Edom could easily think that once they say no, because they're brothers, the Bnei Yisrael won't attack them. But Sichon thinks, no. Sichon realized if they're not going to let Klal Yisrael cross in the land, they're definitely going to fight with them. So better that Sichon attacks them. Now, it seems to me that Sichon here is, again, the protector of all the nations of Canaan. And I think perhaps the Torah goes on to describe how Sichon basically conquered much territory for Moab to explain they were the superpower. And perhaps Sichon, after seeing also that Edom said no, right, and they forced Bnei Yisrael to leave, so maybe Hashem designed this whole refusal of Edom to get Sichon to say, oh, see what Edom did? So I could see Edom had the guts to refuse the Bnei Yisrael. So I'm stronger than them. We're the superpower. Edom can take on Bnei Yisrael. We could also take on Bnei Yisrael. In other words, if Edom stood up to Bnei Yisrael, Sichon will also stand up to Bnei Yisrael. So Hashem almost, perhaps, created a scenario whereby the Bnei Yisrael will be forced to fight Sichon. And they will defeat Sichon. Okay? So basically, that's why I think with the description, Sichon is a superpower. Sichon saw that Edom stood up to Bnei Yisrael. So now they're going to stand up to Bnei Yisrael. They have to defend their honor. They have to fight the Bnei Yisrael. And as a result of this, the Bnei Yisrael defeats Sichon. Now what happens with Og? You know, there's a famous Gemara about Og. How does Og die? So there's a famous Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Dalet. And the Gemara says, Evan Shebikesh Og Melech HaBashem Lizrok Al Yisrael. So Evan wanted to, that Og wanted to throw, like, you know, Og was this giant. He wanted to throw a stone, a big boulder on Klal Yisrael. Gemara Gemir Leg. So apparently there was some tradition about this. Amar Machri Yisrael Kamahav. He said, how large is the cap of Yisrael? Tlasa Parsa. It's three parsas. Azov Ekar Tura Bar Tlasa Parsa. I'm going to uproot a mountain that's three parsas long. And Va'ashtalai. I'm going to throw it on them. Va'iktilinhu. And I'm going to kill them. Azo Akar Tura Bar Tlasa Parsa. Va'aisa Reshe. So what did he do? He uprooted a mountain that was three parsas long. And he put it on his head. Vaise kuchibrichu ale kamse vidikvuha vinafis bitsavre and Hashem brought grasshoppers about upon the mountain. They pierced the peak of the mountain and it fell on his neck. Right? In other words, they made a hole, so it was on him, and they made sort of a hole, so it fell on his neck. So now Hava Bar Lamishale, he wanted to remove it from his head. And Mashri Shide Lahagisal Hagisa Velomatsi Lamishlafe. His teeth were extended to one side of his head, and to the other side, he was unable to remove it. So he had this boulder that was stuck on his head. That's what it means. You break the teeth of the wicked. Okay, so we have this story. Now, Og dies because of a grasshopper. Where else have we seen a grasshopper? Right, a kamsin. We've seen, right, in this Gemara, the story describes a kamse. A grasshopper brings about the demise of Og. Where else do we see a grasshopper?
The
exactly.
The themselves
exactly. Exactly. In Parsha Shlach, Vishabra Edu, what happens? Spies report back of the previous generation. Vishabra Edu has had a feeling, Bene Anak, mean had a feeling, by the there we saw these giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. What's grasshopper in Targum Onkelos? Kamsin. We were like grasshoppers. So what actually happens here? Perhaps what's going on here is the following. In the next generation, before the Bnei Yisrael attack, go into Eretz Yisrael to conquer Eretz Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu creates a scenario where the superpowers of the world would be forced to fight the Bnei Yisrael. Sichod, the superpower, and Hashem basically sort of tells Moshe, okay, now we're going to go after Og. They didn't have to, because they have an easy passage into Eretz Yisrael. But basically, the superpowers of the world are going to force to be fight Bnei Yisrael. Sichod, the superpower, and Og, the giant. Right? The Gemara says Og was the giant. So you have Bnei Yisrael, before they conquer Eretz Yisrael, they're fighting Sichod, the superpower, and Og, the giant, while Moshe was still alive. And Hashem is now, and Hashem in doing this, is demonstrating to the Bnei Yisrael that he could defeat them just like he defeated the Egyptians in the prior generation. But more than that, this is not only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give spiritual strength and courage to the new generation, that they can indeed defeat the nations of Canaan by having them defeat these superpowers beforehand, but it also tells you that the generation, this new generation, has changed. The Bnei Yisrael showed that unlike the prior generation who viewed themselves as grasshoppers in the face of giants, this generation was willing to fight the superpower of the world and to fight who? The giant, Og the giant. Why? Because they had faith in God. And they who thought themselves to be grasshoppers in the previous generation, now it's the grasshopper who defeats the giant. And so we see that the second generation is very different than the first generation. There's another shir that I gave, I think, or drasha I gave years ago, that also talks about how the Bnei Yisrael, when they ask for water, the new generation, what do they say? They don't say that, oh, we want to go back to Egypt. They say, we're thirsty, we want water. Why aren't we going to a land of wheat and barley and grapes and pomegranates? They're not saying we want to go back to Egypt, but they're saying we want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the point is, this new generation has changed. And I think that this story, at the end of Parshas Chukas, not only tells you about God giving confidence to the new generation, but it tells you the new generation indeed has changed, and they're no longer viewing themselves as grasshoppers. Or even if they are grasshoppers, they're saying, you know, if we're grasshoppers, we can still defeat the giant. We can still defeat the superpower. We have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only reason why we left Edom is because God told us. But we could defeat Edom if we wanted to, but Hashem told us to. Why did Hashem do that? So that he would probably make the Bnei Yisrael appear to be weak, so that Sichon would go and attack the Bnei Yisrael, so that the Bnei Yisrael could demonstrate their faith in God and their courage and prepare them adequately to eventually fight against and conquer Eretz Yisrael.